Over the past couple of years, you've likely heard about an election law change in Utah that let candidates get on the primary ballot by gathering signatures. SB 54 carved out that route for candidates. It was a compromise. But it wasn't universally accepted. In fact, it drove a wedge. This is In the Hive. I'm Emily Means. On a recent sunny Saturday, political hopefuls, joined by their friends and family and delegates ready to cast their ballots, filled the Syracuse High School auditorium for the Davis County Republican Convention. As I wandered the halls, with walls covered in red, white, and blue campaign signs, I asked a few convention goers to interpret what the SB 54 compromise has meant for the Utah GOP.
My name's Tom Clay. I'm a computer programmer, and I live in Clinton. Grew up in the Army.
Okay, my name's David Triplett. I'm an architect, and I live in Bountiful, Utah.
Congressman Chris Stewart, Utah 2nd Congressional District. Yeah, there is a bit of a divide, but honestly, that's not terribly unusual. I mean, we're never completely united. Go back to Reagan, for example. There were some who supported him and some who didn't. And we're divided in the Republican Party within Utah right now over how do we elect our the elected officials and how they're going to represent us. I don't get involved with that very much. I kind of say, look, that's up to the party. It's up to the legislatures. Whatever rules they'll come up with, we'll try to find a way to win. But it has divided us a little bit, I think.
I have been active since 2002 when Congressman Bishop was first elected. It took a few years off, but there has always been contention. There will always be a small group that want change and will vote for change no matter what it is. There will always be a small group that likes the way things are and will vote for the status quo no matter what it is. But the vast majority of the people want to make things better. If it requires change, we change. If not, you keep things the same. Unfortunately, the people that want change or want the status quo tend to be the loudest, and they're on opposite sides of the spectrum. For most people, we want to try to make things better, and sometimes that means compromise, and neither one of those other two groups really like compromise.
Well, I have some very strong opinions about this, and I'll try to keep it brief. The Republican Party in Utah is facing an extraordinary divide right now because of our history of the caucus system, which I support. But the caucus system only is successful to the degree that we get adequate and substantial participation by the electorate. When we don't have that, then a weakness that exists in the caucus system is that it can be hijacked by a small vocal minority. And so what we see in the Utah Republican Party and in our Davis County Republican Party is that there is a small vocal and extremist minority that have managed to obtain substantial control in excess of their numbers. And they're exercising that control to forward their policies and their ideas, their dogmas even, in the face of a larger party electorate that does not share those values or share those interests. And there's a number of evidence that this is the case. I won't go into those, but truly, we are facing a challenge. If we're going to save the caucus system, then we have to get enough people, a majority of people, to participate. And if we can't get enough people to participate, the caucus system will die because it will cease to represent the party membership.
That was Tom Clay, David Triplett, and Representative Chris Stewart at the Davis County Republican Convention. They laid out the basics, but I hope Jason Perry, director at the Hinckley Institute of Politics, could fill in the blanks.
Discontent is probably the right way to phrase this. There are fractions within the Republican Party right now, and some of them are more vocal than others, but the party is really trying to find itself right now because they've been put in a very difficult position with some compromise language and an initiative, that Senate Bill 54 from 2014, which has really made some Republicans try to decide who are we and how does one qualify to be a Republican. And there are a couple paths which we'll talk about, but that seems to be the heart of it. There is a group of the Republican Party that has just not come to terms with the agreement worked out with the legislature and the Count My Vote organizers. They don't want people getting to the ballot without their say-so. So that's the underlying problem.
So we've got something like 650,000 members of the Utah Republican Party. Who is in the mix here?
So the party chair, for sure, Rob Anderson, is at the center of much of this. But he has been hired by the Republican Party to represent them. But anytime you have a supermajority, which we have in the state, you have factions within that particular party. Some people say, if you're a governor, Republican governor, I have three people that I have to represent. I got the far right, I've got mainstream Republicans, and I've got the Democrats. There's these three groups have emerged, and the players are very interesting. Rob Anderson is at the heart of it because he's trying to lead the party when there is a faction within it that is constantly at odds with him and would love to see him fired. That is what has happened right there. The key part. Another key player is the Central Committee itself. And within this Central Committee, there's a group of people who have tried very hard to keep lawsuits going and are not content to let the current decisions of the federal court or the law of the state stand. They still want to make changes to the party itself. And then you have the candidates themselves. They're trying to be loyal to their party. They want to try to appeal to the caucus attendees, the delegates that are going to vote, but they're in a precarious position because they can either just count on that party to send them forward or they can get signatures. And what are you going to do? That's the big question.
So I'm glad that you brought up the lawsuits. We'll get to that in a moment. But like you said, this seems to boil down to SB 54. That law was sponsored by Republicans, and now it's Republicans who take issue with it. What is it that they don't like about the dual path option?
It really comes down to control. Historically, the caucus convention system was how a candidate got onto the ballot. And that is what really some people were not happy with. And that's why this initiative came forward that said, okay, we understand that there's a certain kind of candidate that seems to appeal to the Republican Party members that participate in the caucus convention system.
Just to break in, what kind of candidate is that?
Well, those are more conservative generally. Well, you took at two major cases in the last two elections to give you an example of the kind of people. The most popular governor in the country, Gary Herbert, lost at convention. If there was not an alternative path to the ballot, that being gathering signatures, he would not be the governor today because he didn't appeal, like the other candidates, to the members of the convention, to the delegates themselves. Our most recent addition to Congress, John Curtis, lost at convention, but overwhelmingly won his election by huge numbers. Those are two very specific candidates that got the signatures to be able to get on the ballot for the primary, but wouldn't have been allowed to even be a candidate if they had relied solely on the caucus convention system. That's why you say it's about power. There's a group in the Republican Party that has lost the ability to keep certain people off the ballot.
About a month ago, the 10th Circuit Court ruled against the Utah Republican Party upholding SB 54. The party said it will appeal the court ruling. Is this a sustainable path for the party?
I think the party is going to endure, and it's going to survive without question. The court cases have helped resolve a couple of issues, even though many are still not willing to accept it. They have specifically said, this is the court, that the party controls its membership, but the state controls the ballot. That is the interesting result of this case right now, is where does the party get to weigh in on who represents them? And there's some in the party that say, well, we think this court decision doesn't let us have enough of a say. There should be some kind of process where we weed out people who we think are not true Republicans. And of course, this compromise applies to the Democrats too. And, you know, that we're not seeing as much of this infighting with them. But the court decisions really have put this to bed for right now and has put into cement this two-track system. And there are groups within the Republican Party, I think, will continue to fight this for a while. But the court has spoken, and I don't think it's likely that the United States Supreme Court is going to take this case up anytime soon.
So what do you think the best route is for the GOP to take?
I think the best route is for them to try to heal the battle, to try to realize that, like any family, there are members of the party, of the family, that we love more than other parts of the family. And that's just the reality of it, right? You go, there's just some members of the family you're not going to talk to so much. But I'll tell you, for the Republican Party, they need to say, we're just going to have to accept the differences and the different aims that some of us have about controlling it, and realize the most important thing for us is to have Republicans in office. That's what, if I was advising them, that they would try to say. They just need to heal, because the division is causing a lot of discord, and it's causing some impact on the kind of people willing to run for office as well, because people don't want to go against the party, and they want to feel the full support of it. And right now, there are some that don't.
Jason Perry, Executive Director from the Hinckley Institute of Politics. Thank you so much for talking with me.
Thank you. Glad to be with you.
Back to the Davis County Republican Convention. It was clear that the dual path to the primary ballot was a theme of the event. As each candidate took the stage, the PowerPoint slide identifying them and their prospective office also featured, in bold letters, whether or not the candidate was solely seeking nomination via the convention or had also already qualified for the primary ballot by gathering signatures. Additionally, party officials took time during their officer reports to address the issue.
My campaign pledge was principle over politics, and I want to report to you that I diligently worked this past year in keeping my campaign promise of protecting and promoting the caucus as a principle of republicanism. This has brought some criticism.
This is Tina Horlocker, the chair of the Davis County Republican Party. In a recent phone conversation, Horlocker pointed to a rift she perceived among Utah Republicans.
Really, the division that is going on within the party, it began with Senate Bill 54.
She says one of the problems with the signature route is that it's impossible to vet the candidates.
There was no way to have quality control, is a way to think of it, in terms of the belief systems of people who are gathering signatures. I don't know if you've been approached in a parking lot somewhere, had someone knock on your door who is gathering signatures. They don't tend to give you a lot of information, and they try to just appeal to your good nature by saying, let's give this a person a chance by allowing them to get on the ballot. But the problem with that is that we don't know what that person believes, and there's really no way to really question and hold them accountable. So a lot of Republicans were really upset with the fact that that could take place. And the court case, that the appeals case that was recently just decided upon, one of the judges asked, or the state lawyer representing the state, so you're telling me that Bernie Sanders could go and gather signatures and get on the Republican ballot? And the state lawyer answered him sheepishly, well, yes, that's what that means. So there's no way that we can make sure that people who are gathering signatures are really Republican. And recently, I had a long discussion with the reporter, and he was explaining his discontent. He told me he was originally a Republican and that he had fallen away from the party or was just feeling disconnected with the party. And I had a long discussion with him and explained to him why he felt the way he felt. And it is the same battle that's raging in Utah today. And that is simply that nearly all states, Utah is the only state that has a caucus like we have it. Although, unless we can defeat SB 54, we've lost it. Our caucus is a pure caucus, where other caucuses have lost their purity also in terms of allowing them to get candidates to the ballot, but really represent what their belief system is. He was feeling upset because he sees a Republican majority in the House, he sees a Republican majority in the Senate, and he sees that we have a Republican president, yet we can't repeal health care, and we can't definitively protect the life of the unborn, and we can't lower our taxes, and we're doing so many things that really are not in the belief system as a Republican. And I explained to him that that's because in other states, people can get on the ballots who are really not Republican. And that is the reason we have what's happening. At least it's one of the reasons what's happening. So the caucus system, one of the reasons why it's so fundamental to protecting our beliefs and values, because there's a process by which we choose representatives, and we start at our neighborhood, and we go to caucus in our precincts, and we discuss with our neighbors and choose from among us those that represent our values as neighbors the best. Then those delegates that are chosen on caucus night then have the responsibility to go and vet candidates who are also running for office, and they can ask them questions, and they can meet with them face-to-face, and they can look at them in the eye, and they can study their voting records. And the candidates want to talk to them because they want their vote. And so they work together because they both have something that requires them to work together, but also benefits each of them. And so it just creates a closer connection. It's a lot easier for a candidate to reach out to 900 county delegates compared to 91,000 registered Republicans in Davis County. I mean, that's just, that's absolutely impossible.
So you also kind of appreciate the community aspect of the caucus convention system, it seems like.
Absolutely. I mean, how else are you going to get that?
The ideologies might vary from community to community. Say a Salt Lake County Republican might be less conservative than a Davis County Republican. So I don't know. Do you think that the caucus convention system still allows for that, I guess we would call it the marketplace of ideas to thrive? Or does it weed out candidates with, you know, more moderate visions for the Republican Party?
You know, that's kind of a little bit of a trap or a trick question.
I swear I'm not trying to trap you.
I know, but the answer is a little bit, people will get hung up on the answer. If it's really about protecting values and principles, it will weed out people who are really not Republican. If people are trying to fit in to the Republican Party and they don't believe in limited government, or they believe that government should fix every problem, or they believe that government should provide welfare, they're not Republican. That's not Republicanism. And so if that's how they feel, then there's other parties out there that can represent their belief system. But if we're really truly going to protect our principles and our values, then we have to protect those belief systems. Really, you know, there's an infiltration of the party. You know, it's not like we're inclusive or we're exclusive. We want people to join with us. We want people to see the vision of Republicanism. But we don't want people to call themselves Republican if they believe that the unborn do not have a right to life. And, you know, that's a really blatant example of that. But there's other more subtle nuances that can define that also. An example of that would just be simply our move towards a welfare state, or the belief system that it's not important to protect our borders.
At the convention this past weekend, candidates made pretty clear whether or not they had gathered signatures or they were strictly going the convention route. Do you think that affected delegates' votes at all?
Oh, yes, I definitely think it affected delegate votes. You know, we had a number of races that were purely caucus races. We also had, I don't have the results right in front of me, but we had a couple of races where it was also both. And I've had people contact me since then who they were upset, even a candidate themselves, that I had allowed signature gatherers to be there, that they felt like if it's caucus and convention, it should be caucus and convention candidates only. And I explained to them, well, SB 54 does not give me the right to make that decision. We have to follow the law. And so everyone had to be there. But there was definitely the majority of the people who were there wanted the caucus system to be preserved and were not happy about signature candidates being there.
You mentioned that the courts recently handed down their decision on SB 54, ruling against the state GOP and in favor of the law. How do you expect the party to go forward?
The party is definitely going to continue with the battle. I mean, they're definitely not giving up. This is a constitutional issue. It's about freedom of association, the right of a private organization to decide, in our case, who gets on the ballot. Ultimately, this battle goes beyond our borders. It reaches out into other private entities like churches and other organizations that in-house control a lot of things that affect a lot of people. And so there's a great temptation by government to want to have a say in what happens there. And that's what's going on. It's a constitutional battle, and people need to understand that. People should want to defend their constitutional rights.
That's Tina Horlocker, Davis County Republican Party chair. And in the middle of it all is Rob Anderson, who was elected chair of the Utah Republican Party in 2017. I spoke with Anderson about the state of the state GOP.
When you were elected as party chair, or shortly after, you said that the lawsuit challenging SB 54 was too expensive, that you weren't going to pursue it, and of course it eventually continued forward. We'll talk about that in just a minute, but I'm wondering how you feel now about the signature gathering pathway to the ballot.
Well, you know, here's the thing is, you've got to listen. So we are the ruling, the dominant party. It's a really
overwhelmingly
dominant party in Utah, not because only of the 650,000 registered Republicans, but there's a large number of unaffiliated voters who vote conservative, generally speaking. And so all that voter base gives you the success that you see. Okay. And so back to your question, which remind me, as I kind of got distracted there.
Sure. I'm just wondering how you feel about the signature path.
Okay. So going back to that, so the polling, the statistical data, and it's been shown, otherwise it wouldn't have gained traction 4 years ago. People want more choice. They want more choice. They first came to the party and asked them to raise the threshold to 70%, meaning let's send more candidates to the primary. So we give the regular voter out there, the one that attended caucus night and wasn't successful in becoming a delegate, he or she wants an opportunity to vote and participate in that electoral process before the primary election or before the general election. And that primary, typically in a lot of areas throughout the state, we talked about Republican dominance, is the general election, because a Republican who wins the primary generally wins in the fall. And so that primary is a very important race. And I think we've seen over the last 4 years that people want to be involved in that, whether they're a delegate or not. They want more choice. Signature path to the ballot gives more choice. And so do I agree with that? I actually kind of like it. I think there's some validity to it, you know, type thing. I don't think the delegates always get it right. We've seen it in the past. And I don't know that it'll be found unconstitutional. So I think that the dual path is what people seem to want statistically, and we'll find out in November, because Count My Vote petition will be, that initiative will be on the ballot, and the voter will decide, which is how it should be. You know, the voters should decide.
The fear, it seems, from the party or members of the party is that the GOP will get hijacked by people who don't hold to its core values. Is that a fear that you have?
No, I don't. And I think the party in and of itself, and my goal after the primary, obviously we're bound by some neutrality restrictions before the primary to make sure that it's a fair race for every Republican candidate. But after the primary, my goal is to inform everyone as best as possible on the initiatives that are on the ballot, what are the pros and the cons to that, as well as what do the candidates believe in. And so getting that information out there and educating our voter gets us a better product in the end. And so that would be my goal, is inform the voter of who these people are, and let them vet and accept their candidates for whom they are and who they represent, you know, type thing. So what they stand for. And so, no, I don't feel that is a legitimate claim by some people within the party.
What do you think the consequences are of this division that we're seeing?
Well, you know, it's got to end at some point. The problem I see within the party is you've got an element there that declares something unconstitutional and acts in a manner not befitting of the party, and it would ultimately, if allowed to go unchecked, it would lead to anarchy. I mean, if you're going to not follow the rules, nobody has to follow the law, and everybody can do whatever they want. Who has to stop at a stop sign? Well, next thing you know, you have people losing their lives at stop signs because of anarchy, you know, type thing. And so you can't allow something to go unrestrained like that. You've got to at some point, we need to have this adjudicated and proven lawful or not, and follow it. And until it's proven unconstitutional, the party needs to keep its members from being disenfranchised and accept the law for what it is.
Well, like you said, this has gone to court. The 10th Circuit Court ruled that SB 54 is legal. So what comes next?
The State Central Committee appointed a group of five people called themselves the Constitutional Defense Committee to authority to determine where the body goes from here. And it's my understanding that they intend to go with an en banc appeal with the 10th Circuit. I think today, April 18th, is the day they have to file that. So we should know soon what their determination was. I believe that's the route they're going to go. And that goes in front of the whole bench. So en banc means bench. So in front of the whole bench of the 10th Circuit. Now, they can accept that appeal or they can reject it outright. And so we don't even know if they'll hear it again. And then the next step beyond that would be to file a writ of certiorari, which goes to the Supreme Court. And so those two options are available to the party, as well as the third, which is just to stop pursuing this and make the party stronger.
Do you think this situation has been off-putting to current Republicans and maybe some people who are interested in joining the party? Do they feel like it's not something they can participate in and support?
So there's a lot. I get emails every day, and I wouldn't say dozens, but during the week, absolutely dozens of emails, and the overwhelming majority of those are, drop the lawsuit. Let's move on. People like Senate Bill 54. Statistically speaking, from the polling data that I've looked at, 10 to 15% of the electorate out there support continuing the lawsuit and exercising the right of free association. And all those buzzwords that, in 1796 might have held water, but we're in 2018, and things change, times change, and I don't know. We've shown so far that the courts have upheld the law, and they've never, something that doesn't talk about, they've never wavered on, because the primary actually forwards a candidate to the ballot. That candidate doesn't represent the party when he's elected. He represents everyone in his district, okay? And so with that being said, the courts have never wavered on the right of the state to conduct a primary election, never. And so for anyone to think otherwise is a mistake. And so internally, for instance, like me being elected as the party chair, that's an internal thing. The courts don't care about that. But what they do care about is when this individual who comes through the Republican Party system and goes to the general ballot, they want people to know that they represent everyone in the district, not just the particular party. And obviously that's going to be formulated by what their personal beliefs and their integrity is and the things they campaigned on or should have shown the people when they were running for office.
That's Rob Anderson, chair of the Utah Republican Party. Republican, Democrat, unaffiliated voters, what's your stance on the different paths to the ballot? Weigh in at KCPW's Facebook page, KCPW 88.3, or feel free to email us at comments@kcpw.org with your feedback and questions. Thanks to the KCPW team for their support of this show, as well as to Andrew Shaw, who produced the show's theme music. And thank you for tuning in. You can find podcasts of In the Hive at kcpw.org. Up next is Both Sides of the Aisle. I'm Emily Means. Thanks for listening.